Hey guys, welcome to the Martial and Healing Arts channel. I'm Rafe Kelly, founder of Evolve Move Play. I'm extremely excited to be sponsoring this channel. Martial and Healing Arts have been key aspects of embodiment and self-cultivation for thousands of years. I have some of my best friends in the industry, Rory Miller, Matt Thornton, Edward Hines, presenting here, and I'm really excited to share what they have to say with you guys. You're gonna love it. So Evolve Move Play is an ecology of practices of movement, mindfulness, nature connection, and community. And within the movement, we have a big emphasis on moving in nature and being able to do parkour. We also like to lift weights and throw things around, but there's a huge aspect of martial arts, and I've been training martial arts since I was 6 years old. So it's really exciting to be able to sponsor this channel in particular. If you're interested in my work, check out my talks on the Main Stage and the Movement Anatomy channel. If you can't get to either of those live, you can check us out at Rafe Kelly on Instagram, get all your awesome embodiment giveaways. And for now, just enjoy this amazing channel. It's gonna be an awesome show.
Thanks for having me. I really appreciate it. I'm excited for this platform, for everyone that's involved, who's being able to take part in this. A lot of my friends are actually doing this, so I'm really excited, and I hope it adds some spotlight for them, because it's a good opportunity for all of us. In this sense, in the martial arts background, to be able to talk about that, to share with people our story, and hopefully use that as a way to inspire others to kind of follow down that same path of a martial arts lifestyle. So I guess I'd just start off with a bit of background on myself. I grew up in the States, obviously born and raised, American as you could possibly be. I spent time playing sports and from high school and into college until I decided to join the United States Marine Corps, which, you know, for me is the greatest institution on the planet. Taught me a lot of discipline, showed me that I was kind of a knucklehead. And although I was gifted physically, you know, whether it was with sports or with combat sports or with martial arts, at the early stages, I kind of lacked that work ethic. So I just kind of let things come to me. I was always a guy that could train hard and was out there doing it every day, but you know, maybe I didn't really work on the things that I should have that would have maybe propelled me to that next level. But the Marines definitely gave me the discipline and helped me understand a lot more about that. While I was in the Marines, I really had this urge to focus on martial arts with close quarter combat. And I took that opportunity to get myself stationed out here in Southeast Asia, in particular Hong Kong, where I wanted to focus on Wing Chun. So some of you may or may not know much about the Kung Fu style known as Wing Chun. Many of you maybe heard like Bruce Lee had used this style, or maybe you heard of it later when you watched Ip Man movies and you saw Donnie Yen using some Wing Chun. It looked spectacular on film. For me, I really fell in love with the idea of Wing Chun because of its efficiency and its effectiveness without you having to have physical prowess. You know, you didn't have to be strong. You didn't have to be fast. You just had to be dedicated towards understanding the theory and the principles of this system. And I guess, you know, this is really what I wanted to talk about, not really in the martial arts, but really how living through martial arts has just changed my life and made me a better person and helped me kind of search towards finding the best life that I could possibly live. So I moved to Hong Kong in the mid 90s and I started with the Wing Chun, and it was a very difficult journey for me. Not because I was traveling by myself overseas, that didn't really bother me. That excited me if anything. But it was learning this traditional Chinese Kung Fu style in Hong Kong, to where I was really the only Westerner that was at the gym. You'd get periodically Westerners that would show up and they'd stay for a short period of time and they would leave. But I was living there and it was really hard for me to break through culturally with the other students, with my Sifu. It made me feel very awkward at times. And it was hard to just, you know, put myself into it. But I kept telling myself, you know, I came here with a goal of learning this system, and I really wanted to stick to it. And I know that a lot of us go through that, even if you're just back home and you got your job, Or maybe you get starting a new job, or you have your job and you want to start a new hobby. It's kind of hard to stick with it, you know, especially with a martial arts system that it can be very one-dimensional in its view when you start, because you feel like you're just standing there and staring in the mirror and focusing on very simple postures with the arms. But I really wanted to understand the details of this. And I'll tell you that this light bulb went off for me, because it was like, it taught me about the learning process. And I would say after about 18 months in, I started to understand it, because, you know, I was already used to being a fighter, being the strong guy, being the athletic guy. And then all of a sudden I'm in this room and I'm training with people and none of that mattered. And I really had to delve deep into understanding the theoretical approach of this system. And so that was, I would say that was the first time really where I had to kind of understand the structure of learning a system. You know, even, you know, when I played football or baseball or in the Marines, you just kind of, you could get it. You could figure it out. Hard work would just get you in. But when I got into the Wing Chun, you know, it wasn't about working hard. It was about understanding. And that really, you know, I always tell everyone that Wing Chun changed my life, because it changed my perspective of life, you know, really breaking things down, understanding the processes and able to work my way through that. And that was a really tough thing for me, especially, you know, like I mentioned earlier, the cultural differences, you know, growing up in America and then moving over to Asia, specifically into Hong Kong, and trying to understand a system through the culture that it was created. I think that's probably really how you're going to learn to understand it more, is by understanding the people. So you're trying to learn the language, you're trying to learn how people live their daily lives, in order to develop this type of mentality, this type of theory. And, you know, what is it, 26 years later, I'm still here. So it obviously had a big impact on me. From the Wing Chun, after about 10 years, I decided that I really wanted to focus on learning the weapon system. Now, although in the Wing Chun, we had weapon systems, and by doing those, I was still kind of like, well, I wanted to learn more. And so then I placed myself in the Philippines, in the heart of knife fighting. So you have, the Philippines, you have Indonesia, which is very famous for learning how to fight with the blade. Of course, you also have Japan. But I really focused on learning the Kali when I went to the Philippines, because I felt like, you know, they were still out there utilizing the Kali system in fighting in the South and against the Abu Sayyaf. And so I really had a lot of, you could say, trust in the system. I was introduced to it a little bit while I was in the Marines. And so I came back to it, and I went to the founders of the system in the Philippines, and I spent a lot of years to focus on that. And that really, I would say, by learning the Kali system through the weapons, it opened my mind. You know, so earlier I said how Wing Chun really changed my perception, changed my life. I would say that the Pakiti Tertia system of Kali, it opened my mind. It allowed me to be more creative, to see more opportunities. It really forces you to become ambidextrous and think in a different way, because, you know, you got to be as good with your left hand as you are with your right hand. And you have to work in a very safe way, because you're always using live blades. So you don't want to cut yourself in the head or cut your finger off, which, you know, you can definitely nick yourself a lot. And you have to really be more focused, you know, wide-eyed attention. And I really love that about the Kali system. It was much more dynamic, adding to the coordination that I would learn from the Wing Chun. It transitioned right in the Kali beautifully. And I had, you know, I was so blessed to be able to be welcomed into the Pakiti Tertia family to learn that system. And then, you know, years later, after training for quite a long time, I just want to get you guys through some background. And then I decided to revisit my jiu-jitsu roots, because I had walked away from jiu-jitsu for a long time because I wanted to focus on the Wing Chun. I wanted to focus on the Kali, and I'm overseas. But then I finally came back to the Wing Chun. Unfortunately, I ended up having some issues with my spine. So I had to have a fusion surgery to fuse three of my vertebrae. So it was very difficult. My doctor told me that, like, He's like, you need to give up on doing this type of hard training. Just get back to teaching, avoid any heavy contact. And he's listening out all these things that I shouldn't be doing. And I just couldn't live with that because this was the life that I chose, that I wanted to live. So I just started back slowly trying to build myself up. And it took me about 2.5 to 3 years to get where I could deal with impact. I could deal with the torque. I wasn't worried about people stacking me or throwing me on my head until now today. You know, I'm able to train jiu-jitsu and my other martial arts every single day as hard as I want to train against whoever wants to train with me. And so I always say that jiu-jitsu really saved my life because there was a period where, you know, after that surgery, I was afraid that I wasn't able to do martial arts for the rest of my life in the sense that I could train 100%. Teaching it is different. You know, if you're out there just teaching it, of course you can do that. But, you know, I'm one of those people that really has to be involved in doing it myself. So if I'm with my students, I want to be fighting with them. And so that was a really difficult period in my life that took quite a while until I could get myself to where I could be 100% and I could get back to living the lifestyle that I wanted to. And speaking about that lifestyle, you know, it's the martial arts really led me into living a healthy, fulfilled lifestyle that, you know, you could say it really focused on my personal growth. You know, if we talk about life, we talk about trying to gain as many experiences as we possibly can, right? You know, that's when, you know, you try something and you fail, you try something else, you fail, you just keep going. You don't stop. You don't look back. You just, okay, I made a mistake. I'm going to learn from it. I'm going to keep moving on. And you start developing enough of those experiences, you're going to gain enough wisdom so that you can grow individually. And that's really what I was after. I mean, not just because I wanted to be able to teach through experience. I wanted them, you know, I want my students to understand where I'm coming from. I want my son to understand where I'm coming from, you know, but really I just want to be able to fulfill myself. I want every day to know that I'm doing everything I can to progress myself. So I really live by those three rules of just gain as many experiences as you possibly can. And that's going to lead to personal growth and then contribution. So that, you know, obviously the contribution, that's why I love to teach. That's why I love to continue doing what I do. And I base that, this kind of those three points on my entire life. It's never had anything to do with chasing a career. It's never had anything to do with, you know, earning money or getting a raise or doing things like that. It's always been, I just want to become a better martial artist. But then that led me into, I just want to become a better person. And that, you know, body, mind, and soul, you hear people talk about it all the time. And it was just, you know, I'm working my body all the time. I need to take care of it. So you start thinking about, you know, all the nutritional things that you need to do to better yourself, all the breathing exercises you need to do to better yourself, how to make yourself perform optimally every single day of your life. And, you know, I owe martial arts, you know, everything in my life. You know, I wouldn't been able to have achieved anything I was doing without using the martial arts as my tool of living my life. And I guess you could say that's how I kind of created my power story. You know, a lot of times what happens is we get caught in this culture scape. You know, this culture scape is basically what you should be doing in life, what you're told you should be doing in life, what you're told you should learn, how you should live your life. And you get caught in that because that's the environment that you live in. So you start following all of these rules that are put in front of you of how you're supposed to do it. And that never really sat well with me. I've always kind of wanted to do things on my own terms. And I guess you could probably say that I get that from my dad. You know, he was one of those guys, you know, he was a baseball star. He was in the Navy, served in Vietnam. And he was one of those guys that was just the jack of all trades. You know, there was nothing that you could put in front of him that he couldn't do. And I think that resonated with me a lot as a young child of, you know, I wanted to serve my country. And I believe that everybody should serve their country for a short period of time, at least. I served 9 years, but I think, you know, at least 2 years you should be serving your country. But anyway, I don't want to get into that. But my point is he was always kind of searching and trying to grow himself and learn as much as he possibly could. And that's how I kind of started to live my life. And then when I kind of looked at this, again, I say that that culture scape that was surrounding me, I didn't want anything to do with that. I didn't want to have a 9-to-5 job. I didn't want to just, chase that ladder. It didn't make any sense to me. So I wanted to just put all of my efforts, everything that I had, into what I love doing, into my passion. And I really hope my son does the same thing. He finds a passion that he feels so powerful about that that's what pursues him in his life. Because I think it's very hard for people to stay motivated and switched on in their daily lives if they have not clearly defined their purpose, you know, what they really want to do. And it doesn't matter how old you are. It's just making that decision, like, I'm going to do this as far as I can possibly take it on my own terms, in my own way. You know, like, you know, through the martial arts, I've always looked for how am I supposed to kind of support myself doing martial arts, and how am I going to keep myself motivated, you know, always kind of striving, not setting goals, because I think, you know, when you set those goals and you achieve them, and then all of a sudden you lose your motivation, you got to find another goal. But it's just kind of just seeing like how you can kind of keep living your life with passion every single day, whether it's, you know, for the martial arts, for me, it was whether I'm fighting, whether I'm teaching, or whether I'm putting it into film, you know, and trying to reach as many people as I can, you know, to inspire them to say, like, you know, you can create your own story, and you can keep living by that. You don't have to change it. You know, you can ignore those rules that you're told to follow and just follow your own dreams and know that you're doing it how you want to do it. Because we all can do it. You know, like, we're all extraordinary. We all have something special to offer. I think a lot of times people, they just think, oh, I'm not good enough. I shouldn't do this. I should probably just have my regular job and then just do this as a hobby. But I say, you know, if it's something that you truly love to do and you want to do it, then just do it. You don't have to think about, do I have enough money in the bank, in, you know, so that I can then have enough time to do it. It doesn't make sense to me. I've had students start with me when they were teenagers or in their 20s, and now they're in their 30s and 40s. And a lot of them, you watch them make that mistake. You know, maybe I can't say it's a mistake, but it's like they start that job in their 20s and they're chasing. And then all of a sudden, you know, they get that job. They can't train as much. Oh, Sifu, I really want to train, but, you know, I got this new job. I really got to focus. And that happens for like a couple of years. And they, oh, you know, sorry, Sifu, I thought I was going to get back to training, but now I got this promotion. I got to work extra hard, or I've switched to this new company. It's going to be different now because now I'm in charge. So I've got more time and I can start coming to training more. And they keep saying this and they keep getting older and they're not being fulfilled at all. You know, they make a little bit more they put a little bit more in the bank, but they're not fulfilled at all. Every day, it's just stress and stress and stress. They're not happy and they keep chasing that. And, you know, I really tried my best to talk to them. Like, you don't have to go that route. You can be happy. You don't have to keep chasing after what people tell you you have to chase after. You know, I find complete fulfillment every single day, just going into the gym and having those daily fight struggles with my students, where you deal with so much adversity in just, you know, a couple hours, that you walk out of there, you're completely satisfied with your day, you know? And I think you make the world a happier place like that, as generic as that sounds. Is there any of you guys have any questions about anything? I'm open to whatever, however you guys want to take this. Yeah, it's okay. So, you know, now in my 40s, I still continue to teach and to train every day religiously, and I never take a day off. And I've just, you know, the past few years been pushing myself into film. I've always had a love for film because film has always been such a big inspiration for me, you know, growing up as a kid and watching these movies, and I'm sure we can all say this, that, you know, there's, you know, a dozen movies that have inspired you to make you want to do certain things or follow a certain path. And watching, you know, action movies and martial arts movies 100% inspired me. Of course, you know, Bruce Lee and Jackie Chan and Donnie Yen, all these guys, I've always wanted to live a very similar life to that, where you're just trying to be the best martial artist you can. And if you can do it on screen, you can inspire millions of people to follow in those same footsteps and pay respects to those legacies before us, or those legends before us. So now I'm trying to take all that martial arts knowledge that I've spent my whole life learning and trying to put it on the screen and hopefully bring about something new and exciting that that the world can see. And I tell you that I don't get any greater fulfillment than doing that every single day of my life. You know, whether I'm, you know, I wake up in the morning and I do my training, then I do my teaching, then I go off to the film set. It's amazing. It's really fantastic.
So Chris, could you tell us something about your new movie that you're doing and some of the projects you've been in?
Yeah, sure. Years ago, I was lucky enough to get into the Hong Kong film industry as more of a consultant. They would bring me in to help them with their action, help them train the actors. And I was doing that. And then, I was lucky enough to get asked to actually start to try to become an action star and get into movies like Paradox, get into movies like Ip Man 4, and have the pleasure of working, or the honor to work with people like Sammo Hung, you know, Donnie Yen, Tony Jaa, all these guys, and you get to learn so much from them, because, you know, it's like your kindred spirits. You know, all of us grew up as kids, small kids, trying to train in the martial arts, trying to improve ourselves, and then being inspired by those on screen before us, and then trying to follow in the same footsteps. I've always wanted to kind of to do that. And then now, this year, we are moving towards making my movie, which is Ruckus Factor. And hopefully we'll start filming in January. It was just, you know, COVID really slowed everybody down. And this is kind of loosely based on my life when I came to Hong Kong and all the challenges that I faced from the different martial arts schools and trying to cement myself as a Sifu in Hong Kong, and making sure that I was, you know, spending enough time not just training the martial art, but actually going out and fighting and testing myself to make sure that I was capable. And so the movie is somewhat like this, and it talks a lot about going from being an outsider to being an insider. And I mean, it's obvious, if, you know, if I tell you that, you know, I'm an American who moved to Hong Kong to basically live half of his life, but more importantly, as you see me, I'm half Chinese and half American, you know. So growing up in the US, everybody had always seen me as Chinese. And then when I moved to Hong Kong, I thought that, hey, I'm coming to Hong Kong, you know, I should be seen as a local. And but no, you know, you're just seen as a Guailo, as the white guy. So you're kind of always on the outside fighting to be a part of that inner circle. And so the Ruckus Factor, I wrote the story about 3 years ago. A lot of the story focuses on that, is, you know, you go from the outside fighting everybody who's there on that inner circle, until eventually you're part of that inner circle fighting for them, you know, to become one of the insiders, one of the locals, to fight for the community, support the community, which I think is so important, because a lot of times that's what we do is you go into something, but you're not going to be there for a long time. So you're just trying to get as much as you can and then get out and then do your own thing, as opposed to just jumping in and becoming a part of the community and showing that you're one of them. And I think that's so important. And that's what I've done here. You know, if you look at my gym, I've been located in Sheung-Wan for a number of years, always a big supporter of small businesses, you know, small business entrepreneurs, not big on corporations and things like that. And every day being able to go to my gym and talking with all the other small business owners as I pass them, and we're all sharing each other's work throughout the day. I love that. I love that kind of, even though Hong Kong is a major metropolitan city, it's like a small little village at times, you know, it's where you feel like you're in a small town.
Chris, there's a question Kevin wants to ask you. Yeah. Kevin, can you unmute yourself and ask a question?
Hi there, Chris. I'm interested in what training you did in the military, and did you ever see action?
Yeah, so I served in the Marines for 9 years. I managed to travel quite a bit while I was in the Marines. I spent time in South America. I spent time in Africa. When I got out of the Marines, I actually opened up a private security company so I could spend more time traveling around the world, which was really the most exciting thing for me, because you're able to take everything that you learned from the Marines and then use that as a way to survive, to make a living. And I really loved that aspect of it, you know? So it was, like I said, it was just such a gift to be able to spend so much time learning from all these amazing people in the Marines and to get out. And then all of a sudden that, okay, I managed to develop all these skills, all these experiences, and then open up a security company and be able to do the same thing. Unfortunately, it was, I remember coming home one day and looking at my son, he was like 3 years old at the time. And I thought, it's probably time to hang this up, to why am I taking so many risks, you know, when I have my family at home. And that's when I decided to close my security company and just solely focus on teaching the martial arts.
And can you tell us something more about your work that you're doing now? Because you made a transition from being a student yourself and learning and practicing to all the work that you're doing now, which is totally in a different ball game, yeah, in the Hong Kong movie world, but you're doing action direction, you're doing your new movie. How is that for you?
Oh, it's a dream come true. I tell you, it just requires so much patience and I guess perseverance. It's that, you know, never giving up, because it's really tough, you know, when you teach martial arts, like I said before, it's never about trying to make a lot of money. I mean, it's easy to see when you have a gym that, you know, you can only fit so many people in there and you can only do it for so many hours a day. So you definitely see the cap. And then when you look at trying to make it in the film industry, it's very difficult. You know, out of a thousand people that try to do it, maybe one of them will make it. So it can be very disheartening. You try. But I was just really lucky to get put into some really good roles with some great directors and great action stars, great action directors. And by learning from them, by watching them and being directed by them, it gave me a lot of confidence, because then when I would go on sets on other projects, I could bring that experience with me. And I would spend a lot of time observing them so that then when I'm on another set, I can all of a sudden say, hey, why don't we try this? Why don't we try setting the camera up here and doing this type of action, maybe make the guys move this way. And they listen to you and it works. And again, that gives you more confidence. Like, okay, I can do this because I love doing it. I love being able to create the action, you know, with limited risk to hurting yourself, right? As opposed to real combat, real war, you know, where you're going to die. But when you're on set, you can kind of be like, hey, let's do this. Let's make it exciting, but let's keep it, you know, safe for everybody. And you can make the action exactly how you want it and show everything you want to. Man, it is so exciting. I can't tell you how much excitement I get out of it. And being able to, on this next project, to go from just being an actor to being an actor, the lead, as well as the action director, man, I'm so excited. You know, I'm so excited. I can't wait, you know, to start working on these fight scenes and trying to bring something new, you know, something new and exciting, the best I can do, you know, because I mean, you look at Bruce Lee, you know, when he came out, he did something new and he just shocked the world. And then all of a sudden, then you get Jackie Chan, then you get Donnie Yen, you get Jean-Claude Van Damme, you get Steven Seagal, you get all these guys doing these special things, you know, showing their skill sets and doing it in a different way that just, like I said, it inspires millions of people. And I really hope with Ruckus Factor, I'm able to do that.
I'm sure a lot of your students got inspired by movies. How does it affect you in your teaching?
Oh, it's funny, because I have schools in different countries, as you know, and I remember showing up to some of my students' schools, and they would have, I told Donnie this too, I said, they got pictures of Donnie Yen up on the wall, you know, there's a picture of me, there's a picture of Ip Man, and then there's a picture of Donnie Yen, and I would laugh, and I'm like, why do you have Donnie Yen on your wall, you know, he's the actor, you know, but I understood it, you know, because he, like I said, he was able to inspire millions of people to learn. And I respect that so much, because my students would say, wow, you know, after watching Ip Man, I started to study martial arts. And now here they are running their own martial arts academies. And that's the point. You know what I mean? Like when you are fighting, you can inspire people to get into it, but you're not really able to help them. And then when you teach, yes, you're able to inspire, but how many can you inspire? You know, how hard you have to work. You know, I got schools in 12 different countries. You know, you got to travel a lot. And then when you go there, you know, maybe there's 100 people, maybe there's 150 people. And, you know, but when you're able to do a movie, you immediately inspire millions. You got millions of people watching it, and you're able to put that small something, you know, about yourself into that picture. And hopefully that leads them down the path of martial arts.
If the attendees have any questions, please add them to the Q&A and upvote, and then we'll ask the questions to Chris as well. If you don't want to speak up yourself, but if you want to ask your question yourself, join the panelists, raise your hand, and we'll add you. Chris, I would like to ask you, what do you do in a weekday, like a weekend day, like today? Today is Saturday here.
The weekends. Well, on Saturday, you know, me and my son wake up nice and early. We go down for a nice breakfast. We usually talk about his video games and how he's progressing and a bit about school. And then we head straight to the gym. And we get to the gym. And, you know, like I told you in the beginning, you know, I'll start off teaching him some boxing. You know, he'll either spar with me or he'll do some mitts, and then we'll do some Wing Chun, you know, because I told him, I said, hey, I spent 25 years of my life doing this. I'm passing this on to you, you know, so I start to teach him some Wing Chun. And then after that, I teach him the weapons. He loves the weapons. He loves doing the sticks and the knives, you know, and the katanas. He loves this. So we spend time doing some weapons, and then we'll do some weights, you know, just to kind of strengthen his body a little bit. And then we'll do the jiu-jitsu class. I always teach the jiu-jitsu class after that. And, you know, all the other students will show up. He'll take part in the class. You know, he'll spend a lot of time sparring with me and choking me out. And it's, you know, it's probably the best day of the week for me. And then we just hang out, eat some food, probably watch some type of action movie. And then on Sundays, we might go for a hike. We might go to the beach. Or we'll go do motocrossing. I'm really big into motocross. I got my son into motocross and he loves it. He's actually the Hong Kong champion from last year. And so I was just telling him today that November 14th is the next championship race. So he's got to defend his title. And so do I. So we have to go and get ourselves back to the track and get muddy again. Yeah, so those are my weekends.
That's kind of cool. So you're inspiring your son and also supporting him in his dreams?
Absolutely. I mean, as parents, that's really what we have to do. And that brings me back to what I was saying earlier about, you know, that culture scape that you're living. When I got out of the Marines, you know, I was in the States and my wife at the time was in London. And so I get her to move back to London because I had opened up a company and we moved to Atlanta, Georgia. And during that time, we were successful, you know, our company grew, got massive, you know, everybody's just, you know, selling. We're getting big contracts. It's exciting. This was before that I don't know, I guess you could tell the economy kind of took a hit, you know, because this was like 2007, 2008. And, you know, we were doing really well, but I was doing my martial arts in the garage. So I turned my garage into like a dojo, right? You know, I had the mats on the floor, had the punching bags up, doing the weights. And I would bring Nicholas down in the baby pram, in the car seat, basically. And I'd set him down on the floor and I would do all my workouts. And, you know, I'd have a few students at the time and they'd come over and I'd train with them. And he would just sit there and watch and smile. And I'd see his little baby body trying to move to what we were doing. And, you know, that made me happy, but it also made me sad because I was like, what am I doing? Like, you know, I'm a martial artist. This is my life. This is what I've always done. I've always been good at this. And here I am, you know, being part of a company, just doing business, you know, just doing business, being a salesman, being a project manager, you know, and I was like, that's not me. That's not who I am. Like, why did I decide to sell out just so we could have a nice house, a couple of nice cars? And so me and my wife were looking at Nick and thinking about this. And, you know, it was funny because almost at the same time, we both said, let's move back to Hong Kong. You know, my wife is from Hong Kong. We're like, let's just get out of here. Let's go back to Hong Kong. And I was so happy because I felt like I was starting to live a life that was not meant for me. And we get back to Hong Kong and I was able to get back to teaching my martial arts, get the security company going. That was a really exciting time, you know, because you want to teach your son or your daughter, you want to teach your children, you know, how to grow up and chase their dreams. They can be anything they want to be in life. But how can I do that if I'm not doing the same thing? Right? If I'm settling for what's being put in front of me and, you know, that culture skate mentality, how can I tell him to do it? Because he's going to get old enough and he's going to see it. He's like, well, you're not doing it. Why should I do it? Why shouldn't I just take the safe way, right? No risk, no excitement, you know, no opportunity to just to feel your heartbeat. So that was a really big deal, you know, for me was to be like, no, I'm going to continue to chase my dreams. I'm going to continue to live my life the way that I believe I'm meant to live it. And hopefully that's going to rub off on him. And he's going to say, you know what? I can do whatever I want in life and I'm going to go for it. You know, because the worst thing you can do is get through life and not go for it. Cause then there's no chance of it happening.
Cool. I have like a few questions about your last movie that you did with Donnie Yen. Can you say something about the action direction that you were doing there?
Oh, well, I wasn't the action director.
You were director. Actor as well, yeah? You were actor.
No. This last movie is called Raging Fire.
It was your last movie.
Yeah, Raging Fire is directed by directed by Benny Chan, who you know, just passed away. God bless his soul. He's just a lovely man. So it's his last movie, and Donnie Yen is one of the actors or the star. And it was really fantastic because before Raging Fire started, they were talking about a movie called Crossfire, and it was going to be filmed in Mexico City. And I was going to be, you know, one of the main villains in the movie, and I was really excited. And then Benny asked me to be, you know, one of the action directors on that movie. And I was like, oh, this is going to be awesome, you know. And I was even going to provide all the security for the crew when we were in Mexico City. So I'm talking to my old Marine buddies. I'm like, hey, we're going to be filming in Mexico City. Let's get the crew together. You know, so it was just going to be like doing everything, you know, and I was so excited. And then I think, you know, there was a lot of tax issues in China or budgetary issues with the movie. So it got postponed or canceled. And so then they started with Raging Fire. And that was funny because, you know, Benny was wanting me to come on the movie to help with the action. And at the same time, Donnie, after we had finished doing Ip Man 4, while we were filming, he was like, hey, you need to come and do Raging Fire with me, you know, and help out with the action. I'm like, I would love to. So that was really exciting. These two legends of cinema asking me to come in and help. So, you know, I got to come in and train the actors and help with the action sequences, whether it was with the guns or the knives or the empty hand. And that was really, really fantastic. I had such a great time on that project. I learned so much, you know, from watching all of them. And at the same time, I got to put a bit of my flavor, you know, into the action just to help out. And it's great because it's not like they need you. You know what I mean? It's like the movie's going to get made. They're going to come out, make a great movie. It's going to be some great action. You know, the bonus is like, hey, you know, why don't you come in and help us make it that much better, make it that much more special. And so just being able to come in there and do that little bit, you know, but to be on set as much as I was to do that really, you know, again, gave me more confidence in my ability to stay in this industry and do something special, you know, because it wasn't just like, oh, I come in and I sit there and I'm out. It was like, what do you think of this? Why don't we do this? What about this? And then I would come up with these ideas and, you know, absolutely blessed to do that. So hopefully that movie will be coming out in the beginning of the year or towards the end of the year.
I was wondering, Chris, is there anything you could show us of your work?
Well, you can definitely, I would suggest people to follow my Instagram account, Sifu Chris Collins, because I post there every day, a lot of the training sessions that we're doing, a lot of the day-to-day, you know, when I'm filming on a project, like, you know, for instance, being on the Flying Tigers season 3 in Hong Kong right now. So I share a lot of that stuff, or just to visit the website at chriscollinsaction.com or to go to my YouTube channel. Right. So, and I put a lot of videos up about, you know, the different martial arts that I'm doing. It's easy to see. And I'm hoping to start some online tutorials. I think everyone's kind of going that route. I'm not a huge fan of that. I think it's very difficult, but I get a lot of requests to do it. So maybe I'll start putting up some more of that.
Yeah, it's very difficult to work with the body on a 2D screen. We get that.
It's very difficult. I mean, you can show a bit of, you know, a few pointers here and there. But it's hard for anybody to learn much from that. But I think with the action choreography, you definitely can, because you start to understand more about the camera angles and how to create certain action sequences to make that work for sure.
And you were talking about your 3D experiment that you're busy with.
Oh yeah. This is a, virtual reality, type of instructionals. So one of my buddies runs a VR company here in Hong Kong, Shadow Factory. And he was talking to me last week about how we can collaborate on doing some instructionals in VR. So I don't know much about it. I'm definitely not a computer whiz, but I think that's very exciting because it's basically the premise is, you know, if you just see the action in front of you, you know, the tutorial, but imagine being able to move the camera 360 degrees around the action when you pause the video, and then you can push play again and then see it from the other side. And I think that helps people a lot because maybe you can only see the hand in the front, but you can't see the hand in the back. So then you can move your point of view and be able to see all of the action. I think this is definitely where the future is going in terms of instructionals.
Yeah. And so what's your view on, we're doing this conference, yeah? It's all embodiment conference. So working with your body to be a better person, better you.
So I think it's fantastic, you know, and I would say like, it's exactly what I've been trying to do in a conscious sense is kind of build my own power story for the past few years. And what I mean by that is, you know, really, taking special interest in the type of food I'm eating, you know, being organic, being grass fed, staying away from sugars, staying away from rancid oils, paying attention to the type of supplements that I'm taking and how those supplements help me perform. And there's a lot of trial and error when it comes into that, as well as, you know, breathing is something that, you know, we do obviously so many times a day, but we don't really focus on it. You just breathe. But actually there's so many breathing methods that help you throughout your day, whether it's in the morning, whether it's at before you go to bed, whether it's before you train, during your training, after your training. It makes such a huge difference in how you feel and how you perform. It's just massive. And of course you maintain the fitness and the martial arts aspect, but it's also like, you know, you want to optimize every aspect of your life. And that's what I was speaking about earlier, is about understanding that learning process. And I'm still learning and I'm still trying to figure it out. But by understanding that, it's like, how do I optimize myself in everything that I'm doing by using that initial burst of motivation from martial arts? You know, but, you know, I don't want to just be, hey, I'm a martial artist. Like, no, I'm just a guy who's trying to go through life and live it the best that he possibly can and make as much impact as he possibly can, you know, in kind of a small community type of setting.
So I asked Maggie, to our tech host, to facilitate a movie clip of yours. And this is one of the clips that you gave me about Ip Man. Maggie, can you share that?
What is this? Oh.
Hello,我是高湛，我沿的是美国海军陆战队，控制到脚镣、割镣，不好意思。
Maybe Chris, you can do like a talk over.
Translation. I'm just telling people to watch the movie. And I'm sorry I couldn't make it. That was so dramatic.
That's actually quite cool.
But you know, what's quite special about this is my student who's with me right there, Leonardo, comes from Italy. And, you know, he came to my gym, oh gosh, maybe 6 or 7 years ago to learn the Wing Chun. And, you know, he's one of the, he's a lovely guy. He's like, he's an accountant, super safe, very cautious, and, you know, pushing him in the Wing Chun, you know, making him more of a kind of a tough guy, you know, was one of my goals, to get him out of that safe zone, you know, get him to take more risk, question more. And then from the Wing Chun, then I put him in the Kali, taught him how to fight with weapons, and he excels at that absolutely, as well as the Wing Chun. And then 2 years later, I put him into the Jiu-Jitsu. So he's actually a blue belt in Jiu-Jitsu right now. So he definitely grasped all the martial arts that I'm teaching him, but he just jumped in 100% to experience it all, to live it all. And we have long conversations all the time about how he's, you know, using some of the lessons from the martial arts that I've been teaching him into his daily life. And that's the most exciting for me, because, you know, he has a wife, he has a new kid. And, you know, so he's using the martial arts as a way to live his life, and to also how he gives the lessons to his son. So I'm really excited for that. I'm excited for him and his family, because that's why we do this. You know, you're trying to improve people's lives, you know, one student at a time, is to really make a difference. It's, you know, that's why I'm not big on, you know, large commercial gyms. I'm not big on kind of fitness, martial arts classes. You know, it's, I've always had a small gym. I don't want to have a big gym because I like to know every one of my students. I like to know about their lives and what they're trying to do with their life and how to help them get there. And just kind of spread the love of martial arts as a tool to, you know, obviously a tool to live your life.
Thank you, Chris. I think that's really beautiful. I think this is a natural end to this conversation. I'd like to do a little bit on closing the session, and then I'll hand the word back to you, and then we close the full session. And after that, maybe you can hang in here while our attendees leave, and we'll do a little chat. Okay, so I'd like to say to you guys, you can rewatch this whole session on the Martial Arts and Healing Arts channel at the Embodiment Conference. I'll post the link here for you. Boom. Next to that, I would like to say that we have our sponsor, Rafe Kelly, to thank for that we have this channel. So thank Rafe for supporting us and financing us so that we can do this and have epic hosts, epic guests, like Chris talking about his martial arts and his passions. Our next session will be with Lin Wang and Zeng Dao. They are crossing through from pain to joy and return to the real you. That's the next session coming up in an hour. Please join them. I think they're great speakers. It's in the martial arts, working with your pain and going through your pain or finding that little boundary is something that will help you to grow. In our embodiment conference, we have a discount. So you can upgrade your package till the end of our conference, which is the 25th of October, and you get a 50% discount. So if you want to have a lifelong subscription to all the content that we have, 1,100 speakers doing a 1-hour session, and rewatch maybe Chris's session, have a look. It could help you. Next to that, we have a coffee breakout room that you can find in the portal, which is interesting because you can have a chat with each other and talk about the sessions that you're doing. And it's nice to meet other attendees and not just the presenters. We also have some free resources there on the website. Have a look. And then I would like to say, Chris, thank you for being here. Thank you for taking the invitation. I'm a student of yours. I'm following you all the time. I go to your seminars. It's always a pleasure to work with you. You taught me a lot. And as a karate sensei, you taught me how to do my karate different. So that mindset I'm applying in my daily life, in my martial arts, but I'm also learning your skills in your martial arts. And that makes it so exciting. So thank you very much for that. Maybe you want to have a closing word.
Thank you so much, Roma. I really appreciate that. It's good to hear that. I'm glad that you, you know, it's helping your martial arts and it's helping your life and you're improving. And I'm really happy for you that you're doing this this conference, this embodiment. It's fantastic. All it can do is help people, and that's really all that we can ask for, is that we can go out there and inspire others to do great things. Thank you all so much for listening.
Yeah, thank you so much. Thank you, Kevin, also for joining the panelists and asking your questions. Thank you, guys. Thank you, attendees.
Bye bye.
Bye bye.